This podcast is brought to you by Cross Catholic Outreach. Last year, Cross Catholic Outreach provided over 30 million meals to families in need around the world. Join us in our global effort to reduce material and spiritual poverty. Learn more at crosscatholic.org/bless.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.
There. Welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. I'm Gary Zimak, your host, and I'm so glad to have you here with me on the program. We're going to look today at the Mass readings for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme, I feel, of these readings today is seeing past the pain. You know, you and I, we are confronted with difficulties, with struggles, with challenges in life, and it's really difficult to see past these problems sometimes, isn't it? Because these problems are so in your face. It's hard to see the invisible kingdom of God when every day you're bombarded with a number of in-your-face problems. But that's the way it is, and that's the way it was back in the time of Jesus and even before that. And I think that's the message that the Holy Spirit's laying on my heart when I look at these Mass readings today. So we'll go through them. Starting with the gospel, then we'll look at the first reading, the responsorial psalm, the second reading. We'll tie it all together. And the message I am seeing today from the readings for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time is seeing beyond the pain, or seeing past the pain, seeing past the struggle, seeing the past the difficulties. How do we do it? And why should we do it? And I think if we focus on maybe what we can call the other side of the cross, or getting past the cross, or moving through the cross, however you want to say it, there's going to be peace there. That's the secret. That is the secret to peace, to being able to deal with your problems and get past them. So I'm so glad you're able to join me. I hope you had a fantastic week. I had a good week. And I'm really looking forward to spending some time with you on the show today. I'm grateful to all of those Catholic stations who carry this program. I'm grateful to those of you who are listening to this in the podcast form. However you listen to the show, I'm so glad to have you here with me. And I thank you for all of your kind words. I thank you for the prayers. And I thank you for your donations, because I couldn't continue to do this program without your donations. So I'm very grateful. At the end of the program, I'll tell you how you can donate to keep my ministry going and to keep this program free of charge. I give it out free of charge. I don't charge anybody for it. And as a result, that's why I have to depend on you for donations to keep me going. So I thank you in advance for anything you can do, and I thank you for anything that you have done in the past. I want you to know you're always in my prayers as well. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray now, and then we'll get right into these Mass readings for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. So if you would join me right now, we're going to address our Father in heaven, who is waiting to hear from us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your constant presence in our lives. Thank you, Father, for providing for all of our needs, for loving us into existence, for sustaining our lives, for giving us air to breathe, food to eat, and all of the other things you give to us. Thank you, Father, for giving us the gift of Jesus, your Son, who came to earth to live among us, to redeem us, and to prepare a place in heaven for us. We're grateful for that gift of Jesus, Father. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, who inspires our thoughts and our words and our actions if we let him. We ask you, Father, to pour out your Spirit upon us right now. Give us a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. Give me the words that you want me to speak on the program. Help me get out of the way so you can deliver your message through me. And please open all of our hearts and our minds to be receptive to what you have to say. Father, we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee. I hope you have a beverage and a snack, and you're ready to get started to talk about these readings. You know, the way I look at it, it's you and me. We sit around the table. We talk about Jesus, and we look for ways to invite him into our lives, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to become a part of our daily lives. And today, we have to address this issue of, it's an important one, of pain and suffering and the challenges of life. We're all going to have them. And sometimes we look at these bad things or these uncomfortable things that happen, and we think, well, if God really loved me, he wouldn't let this happen. We make the mistake, and it's really easy to do this, is we make the mistake of viewing God as we view ourselves. And we look at his love, we look at the way we love, and we expect them to be the same. Well, God loves unconditionally, and he's also wiser than you or I can ever be. So therefore, there are things that will happen in life that we're not going to be able to understand. What I can assure you of is this: God loves you. And God only allows things to happen to you, even if they're bad or unpleasant, that he can bring good out of, or that can help you in some way. Otherwise, he would prevent these things from happening. So if he allows something unpleasant to happen in your life, there's a reason for it. You can ask him, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Sometimes it's just a means to offer up your suffering and share in the mission of Jesus, grow closer to him. And sometimes you're just never going to understand. But over time, if you walk with him every day, if you get comfortable with him, if you hang out with him through prayer, through scripture reading, through the sacraments, you're going to trust him more. And this is where our faith really kicks in. So that even if bad things are happening, somehow we just trust. And we're not swayed by the negative things that are happening in the world, in our lives, no matter how unpleasant they are. That's not anything you should beat yourself up about. But it does get better with time, let me just say, because I've seen a change in me that now I trust him more than I did a few years ago. And I'm more willing to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I don't like it. It doesn't make sense. But you know what? I know you love me. And there's nothing in this world that can happen that's going to convince me otherwise. That is what faith is all about, because I cannot do that with my intellect alone. That has to be faith. So with that in mind, let's look at the gospel from today's Mass. It's Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 27. I always start with the gospel. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that I always lead off with the gospel, because the gospel is the star of the show. And everything is built around the gospel. The other readings are built and chosen, at least the first reading of the responsorial psalm, they're chosen to supplement the gospel or to reinforce the message in the gospel. So here we go. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Now, this happened immediately after what's known as the Transfiguration, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the top of the mountain and gave them a glimpse of what he would look like, or what he looks like, in his glorified form. They essentially, what happened was they got a glimpse of heaven. But then they came back from down from the mountain. And Jesus was headed at this point to Jerusalem to die on the cross. So this was the final phase of his mission. And he was telling the disciples that he would have to suffer, which is not a popular message. You know, if you have ever watched a loved one suffer, it's not easy. And none of us like that. Imagine what the disciples were feeling when Jesus told him that he's going to have to suffer from the priests, the scribes, from the religious leaders of all people. What's that all about? So what happened? Peter took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. Peter got a little carried away, as Peter did. I mean, that's Peter's nature. And in an effort to protect Jesus, you know, he's standing up for him. He said, no, Lord, no, no, that's not going to happen. Now, you would think Jesus would respond, well, thank you, Peter. That's very nice of you. I really appreciate that. But it's going to be okay. I appreciate you taking care of me, but let me explain this to you. But how did Jesus respond? Jesus said, he turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Now, wow, you hear that and it's like, wow, did he just call him Satan? I mean, this is brutal. But here's something you may have noticed, you may not have, but I want to point this out. Peter said, no, Lord, I know you're telling me the plan is you're going to have to suffer, but I will not allow it. That will not happen. What did Jesus do? Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. See, you and me, we as Christians, as disciples, we are called to be followers of Jesus, which means we're not supposed to be leading. We're supposed to be following. So was Peter. Peter was supposed to be following. But if Jesus said to get behind me, obviously Peter was trying to lead the way, which he was. As hard as this is for us to understand, Peter was trying to go against the Father's will, which was, as again, hard for us to understand, but the Father's will was for Jesus to be sacrificed on behalf of us for our sins. Peter was looking at it with human eyes, as we do when a loved one suffers, somebody you love, your children, your spouse, a friend, a sister, a brother. And you think sometimes, I don't want them to suffer. You know, I get that way with my wife or my kids. I just don't want them to suffer. And if there's anything I can do to protect them, my tendency is to do it. But unfortunately, sometimes their suffering is something that God is allowing for a reason. You know, a lot of times through suffering, we grow closer to Him or we learn something. So if we try to circumvent the will of God, number one, we're going to get frustrated because it's impossible. But number two, we might be doing more harm to somebody by trying to circumvent God's will for them, which is exactly what Peter's doing. That's why Jesus was so emphatic. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see that? This is this idea, not a popular idea. I mean, that doesn't sound attractive to me. If you want to be my follower, Jesus said, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Not lead me, but follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. So the message for us here is, we don't always see the big picture. And if we're going to call ourselves followers of Jesus, we have to follow him. What's he need us to do? Give up our lives. Maybe not in a literal sense, but some people have given up their lives as martyrs for Christ. But he's calling us to give up our life and follow in his footsteps and choose to embrace the will of the Father. And the easiest way to do that, a lot of times we're looking for this big mission. You know, and what we overlook is, for the most part, following the will of God is doing your daily duties and not complaining about them. I mean, for the most part, that's what you're going to be doing. That's how you follow God's will. And some of that just involves accepting what happens to you. That's hard, though, isn't it? It's easier to say, well, I'm going to make a decision to pray more. I'm going to devote 30 minutes each morning to prayer. And I'm going to get my prayer books, and I'm going to feel good, and this is what I'm going to do. And sometimes, even though that is a great idea, sometimes it becomes more about you than it becomes about God. And I've had that happen. I get interrupted during my prayer time, and I get mad. Well, no, this was supposed to be my prayer time. But yet my kids need me, or my wife needs me, right? We got to be careful about that, because it's God's will for us to follow the or perform the duties of our state in life, whatever that may be. That doesn't mean that there won't be times when you will have to be disciplined and not be interrupted if you're praying. But there are also times that your prayer time or your God time, whatever you want to call it, will be interrupted by life. But that's what you're supposed to do. If you follow the Lord, doing His will is, for the most part, relatively simple. You don't do anything that goes against the teachings of His church. You follow whatever, you know, your responsibilities are. You do them. You do your job. You live in a family, if you have a family. If you're a priest, you go about doing your priestly duties, whatever it may be. Now, there are times that God calls you to do something above and beyond, like when He called me to go into full-time ministry. But for the most part, you're just going to be doing what it is that happens to you every day. That's God's will for you. But the important thing is you need to be a follower and not a leader. And that's hard for some of us. Let's look at the first reading. It's from Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. A little frustration from the prophet Jeremiah here. You were too strong for me, and you triumphed. All the day I am an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me. So in order to be a follower of the Lord, Jeremiah is now subjected to ridicule and the persecution and the laughter and mockery of the people. Again, the kingdom is invisible, and sometimes you have to see past the pain or push past the pain in life in order to be a follower of the Lord. Whenever I speak, I must cry out. Violence and outrage is my message. The word of the Lord has brought me derision and reproach all the day. So there's a cross. There's a price of discipleship. There's a cost of discipleship. It's not all fun and games. There is a cost to it. I say to myself, I will not mention him. I will speak in his name no more. But then it becomes like fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it. Like if you're truly a follower of Jesus, all the persecution in the world, all the negative pushback that you get, that's not going to stop you. Because if you connect with him, if you stay close to him, if you follow him, you're going to be unable to hold it in. And that's a good thing. That drive, that thing that keeps you going, that pushing past the pain, that's the Holy Spirit driving you. The responsorial, Psalm 63, my soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. You see that again, that theme of the thirst or something driving you. The Spirit moving you to follow the Lord, even though it's not easy at times. O God, you are my God, whom I seek. For you my flesh pines and my soul thirsts like the earth, parched, lifeless, and without water. You know, that desire, that emptiness that we can all feel at times, that's really a desire for the Lord. Thus have I gazed toward you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. For your kindness is a greater good than life. My lips shall glorify you. Now, this is somebody who's feeling drawn toward God. who's feeling that call. And I'm sure you can relate to that. At times, that something missing in your life, or that longing for peace or for happiness that you don't have, that really is that call to grow closer to God. And sometimes, in order to do that, you've got to ignore the distractions in life or the problems and pursue Him. You know, even in the midst of your struggles, of your trials, you're feeling a lack of peace, but that can be alleviated by turning to the Lord in prayer. You can have His peace, a supernatural peace, even if you have problems in life. That is a hard thing to wrap our brain around, because the world tells you constantly that's not true. The world says you want peace, you got to get rid of your problems. You have to have all the money in the world, you have to have perfect health, and no external problems. Well, in the midst of a global pandemic, you tell me how you're going to pull that one off. You know, it's not easy, but that's the message of the world. You get rid of your problems, you have all the money in the world, you're going to be happy. Evidence doesn't support that, though. We see plenty of rich people who are miserable. So the ultimate happiness, that drive for happiness, that is a quest for God. Thus will I bless you while I live. Lifting up my hands, I will call upon your name. As with the riches of a banquet shall my soul be satisfied, and with exultant lips my mouth shall praise you. See, that drive spoken as from someone who really is really seeking God, really seeking to follow Him, to praise Him. You are my help, and in the shadow of your wings I shout for joy. My soul clings fast to you. Your right hand upholds me. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord, my God. And you know, we all have to make that choice. We all have to make that choice. Am I going to pursue the happiness of the things here and now? Or am I going to delay my pleasure and realize that this life will not be a problem-free paradise? I can have peace here, sure, but I'm still going to have suffering. I'm going to have problems. I'm going to have difficulties. The paradise, the problem-free life, that's heaven. But you know, it really does begin in this world. You can find glimpses of heaven, but the way you're going to find it is by picking up your cross, by accepting what happens to you, by not trying to control every aspect of your life and make sure you never have any problems. And the same thing goes for your family members. Like Peter, we sometimes have a tendency to protect those in our family. And I'm not saying there's not a time to do that. There is a time to do that. But you don't want to go overboard with that. And then if somebody gets sick and you can't protect them, then a lot of times we lose our peace because we're not accepting it as part of God's will. And I'm not saying God wills sickness, because He doesn't. He doesn't will evil either. But He allows it to happen sometime. And this goes back to the whole faith issue. Do I trust Him enough to follow Him, knowing that He cares about me and those I love? Are you willing to follow Him? Because that's where you'll find the peace. All right, let's look at the second reading. Now, typically, the second reading is not chosen specifically to match the gospel, but this is a good one today. Because this, even though it's proceeding sequentially through St. Paul's letter to the Romans every week during ordinary time, we're just going to go through this letter and other letters from the New Testament, mainly from St. Paul's writings. But this fits nicely with this whole theme. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. St. Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Isn't that great? Offer your body as a living sacrifice. That ties in nicely with the gospel, doesn't it? What Jesus said in this gospel, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And St. Paul is saying, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Give up your life spiritually, or figuratively, if you will, live for the Lord first. And you do that by serving your family members and as well. You know, you do a good job at work if you're working. You do the duties of your state in life as best as you can. And in that way, you are giving up your life over to the Lord, just like Jesus did. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. See, that's what St. Peter needed to be reminded of by Jesus in that gospel today. Peter thought he was doing the right thing by protecting Jesus, but in effect, what he was doing was trying to stop God's will, the Father's will, from playing out. And that's why the correction is necessary. It's hard to understand, isn't it? Because you're not God. And I don't mean that in a flippant way at all. I mean, it's really true. Sometimes we just can't figure out what God is up to, because he is so much wiser than we are. He really is. He sees the big picture, and you and me don't see the big picture. So let's be open to being disciples of Jesus by being his followers and letting him lead the way. All right? So that's all I have. I want to thank you for tuning into the show. If you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And I invite you to visit my website, which is followingthetruth.com. While you're there, you can find out how to pre-order my new book. It's going to be out in just a few weeks. Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruit of the Spirit. That's going to be out very soon, and you can pre-order it by going to followingthetruth.com. You can also sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. That's free of charge. All you need to do is supply your email address at followingthetruth.com. And finally, if you would be willing to leave a donation for my ministry, I would greatly appreciate that. You can also become a monthly sponsor if you'd like to do so. You do that by going to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you'll be taken to PayPal, where you can make that secure donation. If you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'm going to run now, and I really want to thank you. It means a lot to me that you spend time with me each week. I just love doing this program. Please keep me in your prayers, and I'm going to keep praying for you. Let's together work on building each other up so we can work for Jesus, so we can continue to spread the good news, to be able to accept the things that happen to us, even when they might be difficult, but accept them as part of God's will. And if we cling to Jesus and we continually seek to follow him and do his will, that's where we're going to have peace, okay? God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to being back with you next week right here on The Gary Zimak Show. See ya.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.